everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Robbie. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Thank you, Haley.
Thanks so much for joining us. Today, we're going to talk about Delza. You guys both have special needs, neurodivergent children. Is that the passion driving behind this project?
Certainly in my case, yeah, the passion, purpose, etc. behind the project was because I have a child that's neurodivergent, and like the majority of children that are neurodivergent, has co-occurring challenges. And when I was younger, I had learning challenges different to my son, but having experienced that both as a parent and a child, yeah, decided that there'd been these problems that have been experienced for decades that we needed to try and solve.
Yeah, good for you, especially because back when we were growing up, the awareness and the education piece was not there. So usually kids who had learning differences were just pushed off to the side, right?
Exactly, and that's my experience. So I'm less from a neurodivergent background, but struggled with anxiety and depression all my life. When I was 8 years old, I first realized I was different, but I never had any support. My parents didn't know to find support for me because it just wasn't spoken about. It just wasn't there. So Delza really speaks to me as a product, as a solution, because I just never had it. I wish I'd had it when I was little. I wish my parents had it when I was little.
Absolutely.
Robbie,
in your own words, tell us about Delza and what it is and what inspired you, your personal why, which I feel like I already know, but let's hear the whole story.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, being the parent of a neurodivergent child and having experiences both as a child and a parent and trying to support my child in various countries, what I realized was that while the understanding behind learning challenges has evolved over the years in different forms of neurodivergence from a scientific, academic, theoretical perspective, people are still learning more, but the actual experience of parents and children hasn't changed very much at all. The burden on parents hasn't changed. The parent having to firstly recognize that your child has challenges, accept that your child has challenges, navigate all of that, being the pivot in everything, having to become an expert, having to coordinate everything, getting the assessments, understanding the assessments, trying to process having multiple specialists giving different advice and that, and ultimately, I guess, never knowing whether you're doing enough or you're doing the right thing. And that burden on parents that I realize, and in fact, it was an incident here in Luxembourg when my child was seeing a new psychometrician who at the first session took out a white piece of paper and said, "Now tell me about your child."
I've told the story 10,000 times.
Absolutely. Over and over again. And your child is sitting there. And I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And that's when I said, look, something's got to be done. We can't still have this situation.
So that was like your aha moment. I'm going to create a platform where all this info is just going to be on one spot.
Yeah, it's not just the information. I knew something needed to be done. I needed to figure out what it was. So that led to a whole journey of not only interviewing other parents, a whole range of other parents of neurodivergent children to understand, look, are you experiencing the same thing I am? While everybody has a slightly different journey on their own journey, there are these common themes. Uh-huh. And that was confirmed resoundingly, but then also realized it's a two-sided issue because our children also work with and are supported by various other people, the educators, the therapists, specialists, other caregivers. And so also spent a lot of time trying to understand the other side of the story and how that contributes to our frustrations. And I realized that actually these educators, the specialists and so forth, all have their own frustrations. They are equally frustrated often that they don't have access to all the latest information or even the historic information. They are super frustrated by their inability to communicate properly with each other, to collaborate properly with each other, the fact that everybody has their own systems. And there's various reasons for that, which we can get into. For example, if you take the GDPR, which is for those that don't know, the primary data protection legislation, while that was and has been designed and created to protect data and protect individuals and so forth, practically it's had the, and ironically it's had the effect of preventing people from working properly together, because there's this fear about sharing information. And I guess understandably about sharing information, do you have permission, can't you? So people naturally are afraid. And so I took all of that and looked at it, and that's then led to Dulza. And we are able, through the way, by I think adopting a paradigm shift in how we've implemented it, by making it completely parent-owned and controlled, we are now able to solve almost all those challenges.
It's amazing. It's such a good idea, really. When my son was first being diagnosed back in California, some social worker, psychologist person pulled me aside and said, you need to get a binder. And you're going to have 40 binders or notebooks, a stack by the time you get through this with dividers. And I have on my phone diagnosis that I can email or whatever. Yeah. And it's such a pain. I've never actually heard the frustration from the provider or the caregiver's point of view, but I can totally see that, especially in Luxembourg. If you are navigating between the private sector and the public sector, they have their lanes and they do not want to get out of their lanes.
Yeah. So the parent has full control of Dulza. They can grant permission to whoever joins the team, the support team, and whoever can have access to the child's profile and any information. That is a great way of empowering parents, knowing that they have peace of mind, that they have control over the platform. It is a pretty simple setup. Once you register, you can create the child's profile. It doesn't take too long at all. You upload your child's details, their hobbies, their likes, their dislikes, their interests, and any files or documents you can upload as well. And you can also download them. So everything is literally in one place. And the aim is that the parent, therefore, has less stress when it comes down to administration. What you've just been talking about, this binder, and you have a million different, not just a million different pieces of paper, but maybe a million different versions of something. Mm. Everything is all in one place, and it's easily accessible. There's real-time tracking, there's feedback, you have access to medical records, to school records. And as I said, what's really important is that the parent is in full control, and they are the people who grant permission if one of the caregivers or one of the doctors wants to join. And they can also turn off the authorization, turn off the permission as well. So it's full peace of mind for the parent.
I have a question about the permissions. Is it possible to give providers not full access to everything? So maybe you want the teacher to only have access to some of the stuff, or not the historical stuff, or maybe the most relevant, because for my son, his diagnosis has changed over the years.
Yeah, so one of the things that, which was interesting as part of the user research, was naturally this issue of data protection, privacy, and sharing information is like perhaps the number one concern.
Yeah.
And what's been an interesting insight, and even as Dulza has rolled out, is we find that parents that are earlier on in the journey tend to be a lot more restrictive in what they want to share or not.
Interesting.
As a child goes through the journey, you need to share, they become a lot more comfortable with sharing it. But, and so in developing Dulza, we had that in mind. And so there is literally the ability on a per individual basis to give completely granular permissions. So each individual that you give access to your child's information, you're able to control which parts of your child profile they can access, what they can do, what they can see, right down to individual pieces of information. And so you are able to make it completely bespoke. And as you become more comfortable with the person, you can open up perhaps more permissions, you can restrict it, you can remove the members of the team. But importantly, it's not just about information, it's also about this ability for the team to properly communicate, to chat with each other, to give feedback and everything. And you, as a parent, have control over that. And so even when a parent, or sorry, even when a member of the team gives feedback, because they can give feedback on anything, and on a session, on how the day went, on mood, behavior, sleep, diet, anything, like that feedback goes to the parent first, who can review, can even mark it sensitive and decide who will see that or not see it.
So cool.
Yeah. And I guess this was the lawyer in me had developed all of this in a way to ensure compliance with GDPR. So there was complete control. And so that everybody working on the platform could have complete confidence that if you can see or do something, it could only happen if there's permission. And that was perhaps originally created from a legal perspective, but we've realized that practically it's actually been far more important in giving parents a peace of mind.
Sometimes I do think when you're at the beginning of the journey, you feel like, oh, I don't know if I want this label. And also when you have a new provider, you don't necessarily trust them right away. So the granularity of permissions, I think, is a huge piece.
Yeah, and there's two things. And the one, going back to your earlier comment around the binder and all of that, and the record that you'll...
The many binders.
Yeah, exactly. And another insight we've gained since Dulles has been live is that actually the perfect time for somebody, there's always a great time to start using Dulles, but the perfect time for somebody is when they're starting out on the journey. When you start getting the reports, you start getting the assessments, and you're building up that record. What's been interesting, though, is those parents starting out on the journey often don't realize what's to come, that actually you are going to need this. And just like you were told by somebody, you need to start preparing your binder, and that, like, unless you're told, you think, oh, this is going to be a once-off. And it's only later on, so those parents are further along on the journey saying, look, you're going to need this. And so start getting everything together.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, this is really a fit, obviously, for special needs, but also for anything chronic, like you mentioned, anxiety and depression, but even like Crohn's.
Oh, absolutely. What's important to mention is you don't need an official diagnosis to be able to use Dulles. My child has anxiety and she has juvenile arthritis, and she's a child on Dulles because it helps me manage her life and our life, because everything's there in one place, and particularly because she is with a doctor in the UK, and obviously the UK and Luxembourg won't talk to each other, so everything that we have for my daughter is held under Dulles.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
A great point, because we also have providers in the States,
yeah,
who need to talk to providers here, etc.
Yeah. If you move country, everything goes with you. This is the beauty of Dulles. If you move school, everything goes with you. If you move country, everything goes with you.
And eventually you can pass that record on to your child. They can take over the profile. And as part of that move in, and going to your earlier point again about changing providers, where you may be a little bit skeptical, what typically happens nowadays is when you want to approach a new provider, you normally ask to fill out a bunch of forms.
Yeah.
You normally ask to send all the reports and all of that in advance by email. I've had situations where we've had to actually drop off physical documents.
Wow.
And the provider then looks at it and can decide, well, they do want to take on your child or they don't. But what we're able to do now is you're able to have the full record with all the information. You're able to give that provider access to your child's profile in Dulles so they can see what they want to see and give them the permissions that they need. And if they decide, actually, it's not going to be a good fit, or you have a few sessions and they decide they're not going to continue, you just remove them from the profile, and you haven't sent your information by email or physically or whatever all over the place. You still have complete control over what's happened to your child's information. I think parents in Luxembourg have therapists and specialists and support outside of the country. It's the same thing. You can get the remote support, and if you're changing cities, countries, and so forth, because that record goes with you, you can apply the same process.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. The reality is all these providers have a dossier on your kid anyway, so you might as well be the main controller of that dossier to the extent that you can. I have a question, though. You mentioned things like sleep, right? If your kid has a bad night's sleep, that's going to affect their performance that day. How do you get the teachers or the daily touch points of your kids to check in? Are they notified? Hey, mom's got a new or dad's got a new thing on Dulles. Yeah. Read it.
Yeah, what's interesting, and I actually only realized this when we were doing the research, and the numbers been checked and double checked, but our children only spend 14% of the year, 14% of the year in a school environment. And that remaining 86% all forms an essential part of their learning environment and also their developmental environment. And what happens outside of the school, at home, socially, etc., all has a direct impact of what happens inside the school and vice versa. And what happens at the moment is the teachers will typically only see what they see at school,
yeah,
and not be aware of everything outside of that. And so what we're able to do is called acute monitoring. So when there's any change in routine, medication, life event, or anything around the child, you're now able to get everybody around the child, inside and outside the school, to be giving feedback on how sleep was, how diet was, how behavior, any number of things, so that when there are those changes in routine or medication or anything like that, you can now get a proper holistic view of what the impact is, and the right person on the team can make an assessment of what that impact is, rather than only relying on one data point from the school.
Yeah.
And so what we find is that different members of the team will interact with Dulze in different ways. So a class teacher, for obvious reasons, may not be able to give feedback after every single lesson, because they seem that they've got various other children in class and it's impractical, but you will see them giving feedback once or twice a week about how that week is going and so forth. Or if an event happens or anything happens during the school day that's notable, they'll note it. Whereas other members of a team, that, for example, a therapist, or in some schools they'll have a support teacher that does separate sessions with a child, and there are other examples, they will be giving feedback directly after that session or more regularly. And then you'll get other members of the team, like educational psychologists, for instance, which, for professional reasons, because normally the child is actually the client, for professional reasons they may not be able to give input regularly about what the child has said to them or not, because that's just the nature of things. But the educational psychologists find Dulze are hugely valuable, because now they have a lot more information available to them to understand and support the child.
Right.
And so they may not be as active on the platform, but they are way more active in terms of absorbing and monitoring and being a better place to support the child.
If you're a parent and you sign up for the Dulze platform, how do you pitch it to the teachers or the coaches or the staff? Hi, please communicate with me via Dulze.
Yeah, it's that is something that tends to be different for different kinds of community and the communities and environments. And I guess part of us having just recently launched in Luxembourg, and part of us speaking in podcasts like this, is also to raise awareness. And we're doing a lot of work to try to raise awareness amongst schools and therapists and teachers, so that they really understand what Dulze is, and that we're not just here to take advantage of these families and so forth, and so they understand what it's all about. But for parents that may be speaking with a school or therapist, apart from the fact that we're happy if they reach out to us, for us to contact them directly and explain it and spend time with them, is it's really a couple of things. One, it substantially improves the ability of that educator specialist to support the child. That substantially improves the ability for them to communicate with the parents and enhances the support to the parents and the family. But importantly, it also makes all this work that's been done by the schools and the specialists far more visible to the parents and visible to the other stakeholders working with the child. Because often, and one of our insights was, sometimes the more support a child gets in an environment, the less the parents know about it, because they're not necessarily seeing the person at the door, things like that. And
because they're too busy to tell the parents about it, or why?
Yeah, or in a school that provides a lot of support, the child will go be getting the support during the day, and there's very little, because of the current systems, there's very little feedback that's given to parents, other than the occasional biannual parent meeting or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And what we're doing ultimately is solving those frustrations that the therapists and teachers have expressed to us in our research. We're solving the frustrations. You have access to all the latest information. You're kept updated and notified. You now have the ability to communicate with everybody working with the child. You now have the ability to properly collaborate. And importantly, in the design, we haven't just looked at this from a parent's perspective. We've also often made decisions and looked at it from the perspective of the educator specialist. So, for example, in the feedback feature we have on the platform, that's something that, by using the app, because we have an Apple app and an Android app, literally with one finger in seconds, you open the app and in seconds, the person's able to give feedback. It will take them 5 seconds if they want to put basic information. It will take them 15 seconds if they want to put a lot of information. And so when we were developing the product and testing it, it was literally a case of testing it with these specialists where they'd say, okay, capture the feedback. It's taking a minute too long, 45 seconds too long, 30 seconds too long, 15. And so it's actually been developed with them in mind, and it's
do it at the door when they're saying goodbye to you after your session.
Is it like a drop-down menu that they can just click buttons of how it went? Did it leave a voice?
A combination of both. There's a basic form with prompts already that you can just fill. Is this what the date, time? Literally by pressing a button, we've got emojis that can be clicked and a short little feedback form. If you've ever sent a WhatsApp, it's as easy as that.
Wow.
And then it's captured. And one of our insights as well since we've launched is, we found in testing it with, if you look at the feedback that's typically being given at the door, like Alex says, that many parents will be accustomed to, your child finishes a session, you meet the specialist at the door, your child's leaving, running out, another child's typically running in.
Yeah, and you always try to get that, hey, how'd it go?
Yeah, and they're like giving you very brief feedback. You then, and maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but you then have to remember or understand what they've told you so I can go home and tell my wife and anybody else, particularly if there's feedback needs to be passed on. But what we've done is said, okay, you've given me this feedback at the door, now capture it on Dalza. And it, as I said earlier, it will take the person seconds to do it. But the feedback now is far richer.
And more efficient.
Far efficient and meaningful.
Uh-huh.
And what you're now able to do is that feedback now can automatically, with the parent's permission, be shared with everybody else in the team. And you don't have a parent like myself who's perhaps misunderstood what was said, only remembers a part of it.
You get a truly holistic view that it removes any risk of misinterpretation, miscommunication, even misdiagnosis, which can sometimes occur when everything's all over the place.
As a parent, I'm thinking about the time saved.
Right? Yeah,
because when you said I have to communicate it to my wife, like, this is a great way to equalize it amongst parents. This is a great way to save time of, yeah, I'm talking to the music conservatoire teacher and the music at school teacher and the regular teacher, all about the same thing. I do group emails all the time.
Yeah.
And one of the surprising things I only realized when she was using it in action with my own child, and the feedback from other parents has been the same, is that while we talk about the benefits of getting the broader team involved, it actually helps the parents, whether they're co-parenting or whatever the case may be, it actually helps the parents to better support the child together and to share the load together and to become more involved. For example, if I take a look at my son's own profile, both my wife and I are on there. We both have the ability to communicate with members of the team, to add members of the team, to approve feedback and things like that. But when something comes on, we're both immediately aware of it without us having to remember to discuss it later, because what typically happens is the burden of supporting a child, as in almost all cases, falls on one parent. In 99% of cases, it's the mother or a maternal figure. And even if the other parent wanted to become far more actively involved, it can sometimes be difficult because that one parent is the one taking the child to the different sessions. Mm-hmm. The one parent that's engaged with members of a team. It's that one parent who's normally managing the records and holding it all together. And just because of the way it's done traditionally, even if another parent wanted to be involved, it's a little bit more difficult,
right,
if you follow. Whereas now, because you now have both parents having access to everything and being able to share that burden,
so much better. One time I had a little meltdown and I was like, listen, husband, I need you to manage this situation. And he was like, coming in out of nowhere, what do you want me to do? And I was like, email this person.
I've even had a situation where my son takes medication, where he'd recently changed his meds. And you'll know in Luxembourg, you typically have to go to a specialist, like a pediatric neurologist, to get particular meds. You can't just get it from an ordinary doctor. Anyways, my son was ill a few weeks later, so we went to the pediatrician, and I happened to take him there, and the pediatrician does a normal thing, like, what's new, what's different, what's changed. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, he's changed his medication recently, and the doctor then said, were the meds, when would he change, what's the dosage, all of that. Ordinarily, I would frantically try WhatsApp, call my wife, hope she picks up the phone, sweated. But in this case, I remembered, actually, I've got it all on Dalzen. I literally pulled up Dalzen, and I could tell him this was the date, this was the dosage, this is what it was before, and I had all the information to hand.
Such a good idea. So we're running out of time, but I want to ask you two things. Like, one, about features. Do you have any plans to build out a community area? Do you have any plans to build out a provider area? Because those two things are what I feel like is really missing from Luxembourg.
There's a couple of things in that. And the first is worth mentioning that we speak of community in many respects. The development of Dalza has been a community project here in Luxembourg. I've received so much support and people have been so generous with their time and advice in the parenting community here in Luxembourg. Organizations like Passage, Zifi, and various other individuals, the SCAP supporting, giving advice. So in many respects, I feel like this community project, and our objective is to get that feedback from everybody. Many of the features have been built in, has been people have asked for it. And so when it comes to building out for the access to specialists and that, yes, we already have, because when a specialist registers and Dalza, they have the choice to make their details public. We're already building this big database.
Great.
One of our next steps is to, and we'll have to do it in a considered way so it works, is to build out the ability for members of a community to actually interact directly outside of their individual child spaces. And importantly, also organizing events and things like that for the community in Luxembourg and elsewhere.
Love that.
To bring people together.
I have to ask, because we're in Luxembourg, is this platform only available in Luxembourg or can anyone get it? And what was your experience like starting? Because this is essentially a startup. Did you win an award? Did you get funding from the government? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, yes to all those questions, but let me get my thoughts in order on this. Let's deal with the last, but yes, we recently were actually the official Luxembourg nominee for global competition where 185 countries participate, 900 entries, etc.
For what?
The World Global Summit's World Summit Awards for innovations that have social impact and achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals, because we achieve a range of them. And just, I think, 2 weeks ago, we were originally one of five winners in the learning education category and then had to go pitch it in India and then became the global champions.
Wow. Yeah. So, smile on my face. Congratulations, guys. Yeah, that's huge.
So that's been great. And we've received a lot of support in Luxembourg from organizations like the André Loche Foundation.
What's that?
It's a foundation which primarily focuses on initiatives to support children and youth and STEM and the like.
In Luxembourg,
yeah. And so they gave us funding to make DALZ available in not only English, but French and German. And they've also sponsored annual subscriptions to the first 150 families that register in Luxembourg. And
so cool.
We still have some of those available. So
oh, really?
I'm in. Everybody yeah. to register.
Get registered.
And then,
although this is airing in June, July, so
yeah,
you could try, people.
And maybe someone can send me an email and say if they've missed it, maybe I'll make a plan. I'm sure I will. But we're incorporated in Luxembourg, established in Luxembourg as a social impact company. It's a formal legal structure. It's fairly new in Luxembourg, also called a SIS. What that means is that although we're accredited by government, we have indicators that we have to meet in terms of that we're achieving our social impact goals. We're monitored by them to get to maintain the certification. And importantly, because we are what's called 100% impact shares, all profits are required to go back into the business.
So cool. So is this kind of like your volunteer project? You don't make any money from this?
No,
because you're not.
We recently got in some angel investors who've invested because they see the important social need, not because they see it as a financial investment. But I've personally funded the entire development of the project, which has cost a fortune. I try not to think of how much has been spent.
Your eyes water every time you say that.
Exactly. Yeah, we're no way near this being a venture for profit, but the importance of establishing the social impact company and why we have a really modest subscription fees, because we'd like to make sure that this is sustainable. And as much as we'd like to make it available for free, if you're using any product for free, I can tell you the person is probably compromising on something important like data protection or privacy or security. We need to charge a reasonable fee to do all the right things and to make it sustainable.
Totally reasonable. When you were having this idea, what was that process like in your own mind of, I'm really going to do this?
I guess maybe all kind of entrepreneurs will associate with this in many respects as a bit of a kind of irrational commitment to finding a solution and doing it and implementing it. You're going to be completely driven. And it was something that just, without wanting to sound like kind of try to, there's a bit of a kind of fire and you realize there's a problem that needs to be solved out of complete frustration. If I don't do it, nobody else will, and let's try solve it. Quite frankly, my objective is not to bring the support of neurodivergent children to the same level as other children, but is to exceed that support. My hope is one day people saying, look, I don't have a neurodivergent child, but I want my child to get what these others are getting.
So cool. Yeah, I was just thinking, could I use this for my neurotypical middle child also?
What we're doing at the moment is just the start of it. My or our vision is that one day Dalza will be the platform for people that are neurodivergent, where these children, beyond what we're doing now, you'll be able to go there and there you can find jobs, you can find, get educated on financial inclusion and financial education, you can get social inclusion, find places to live and other parts of your community. Whatever you need, like, to help you be as independent as possible.
Amazing. I just want to say thank you guys so much for coming and congratulations for winning that award. And everybody, where can you sign up for Dalza?
The best way is to sign up on the website, dalza.com. That's dalza.com. You can sign up there, but you can also sign up through the app. There's an Apple app, an Android app. But if you'd like to get the free annual subscription, the best place to do it is through the website. And even though you register on the website, you can then still use the apps and any devices completely as normal. So you can choose whatever suits you best.
Amazing. Alex, Robbie, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Hayley.